Welcome to Percival's Place on TalkZone.com, the show dedicated to green initiatives. Now, here's your host, Percy Dyer.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Percival's Place. As you know, my name is Percival, and this is my place. And today, we're going to talk about a naval expo that I was invited to over the weekend. And later on at the half hour, we're going to talk to Stephanie Burgess, who is an ER doctor, and she's going to be talking about an exercise program that she has. But for the first half of the show, I would like to talk about the Naval Expo that I was invited to over the weekend. And basically what that is, it was a conference that was here on Long Island. And long story short, they had a lot of people who were coming from all parts of New York to talk about some of the services that they offer and some of the products that they have. And of course, this is all natural products that they have, that the people were selling. And of course, they have businesses all over the tri-state area, to be honest. And also, we had a lot of medical doctors who are performing surgeries, and who are also giving a more natural alternative to the regular practices that you may be thinking of, such as chemotherapy and what have you. So it was a very interesting expo, and I was very, very happy to attend it. And a lot of the people for the future, a lot of the people that attended that that expo will be on this particular show and on our television show that will be airing in January. So I'll keep you updated as to when that television show will be airing on Dish Network on an NBC channel. Right now, we are going to be taping for that next week, next Monday. And it takes a couple of months for that to air because, you know, they have to run a commercial for a few months to get people interested. And, you know, there's got to be, you know, some marketing involved. We have to go over the Internet and we have to let people be aware of what's coming. So that will air in about 2 months. So I look forward to seeing it in January, and I hope you do, too. So let me begin by explaining some of the things that were there. We had, of course, there was a person selling soap there, but just to give you an idea of some of the other things that was going on, there was a surgeon there by the name of Sergey, and I will not be able to pronounce his last name without butchering it, but it looks like it's Kalienko. And he is a surgeon from Brooklyn, and he is giving, you know, anti-aging and holistic and functional medicine to all of his clientele. So he's talking about, you know, is aging reversible? Are we supposed to age so fast? The toxins you don't know about? Could we find the root of and the cause of aging and these kind of things? And so you had a lot of people who are you know, that they had booths set up and that kind of thing. And, you know, you go around just like any other thing and go around and basically check out what everybody had to offer. And I got to tell you, it was quite exciting because I saw some things that I never heard of before. Like, for instance, here's another person here who had the state of the art comfort dentistry. Now, I don't know how he's incorporating, holistic care and, you know, natural medicine with dentistry, but these are the kind of things that were being offered. One of the people that stuck out in my mind, though, there was a gentleman there who will be coming on the show, who has a facility, and he's talking about oxidation in terms of curing a lot of skin disease and helping to fight HIV and AIDS. And there is some kind of technique that goes along with oxygenating the blood to actually to wipe out the HIV and AIDS virus. Now, I think there's another process that the blood has to go through, but he claims that this absolutely works. So I'm looking forward to hearing, what he's talking about. He's saying that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think he says it either suppresses it or it absolutely removes it from the body. So it's one of the two. But I'll let the doctor talk about that at another time. But, these are the kinds of people that were there. There's another gentleman here that had, joint relief, stop joint pains. We had people there with that were offering spas. And there's a person here that did the Red Door Spa. Now, this person is located on Jericho Turnpike in Woodbury, New York. And, it's just a spa, but, of course they're saying that they offer a more natural, alternative to, some of the, creams and, techniques that have been, that people normally experience, from the past. And, this is supposed to be a lot healthier for you. So they're giving that kind of treatment. There was a gentleman there that was also, dealing in the art of hypnosis. And he's saying, you may or may not believe that this works, but he's saying that he can help to stop you from smoking. He can help you lose weight, anxiety, stress, phobias, he can attract, you to success and wealth and all this kind of thing. So it was a very, very interesting, session that, some of these booths were offering, an opportunity to try out their techniques for free. And, when you were watching some of the things that he was doing to people, it was very interesting. Later on today, my staff and myself, will be trying something that may seem a little silly on the surface, but nevertheless, I want to give this a shot. There's a company called Mountain Valley Spring Water, and the water, I've tasted this water, and it really is a great product. I really enjoy, drinking this water, and it really has come to my attention that, all waters that we're buying and that we're used to from the supermarket is not all the same. And so, one of the things that I'm going to do today, after the show is over, is my staff and myself, we're going to take a little, for a better lack of a term, we're going to do a water tasting, test, and we're going to see, which ones that we actually like. Now, as you're aware of, if you've been listening to the show, that, these waters that are stored in the plastic bottles, they found that, after a while, this kind of leaves you susceptible to cancer because, the water sort of binds itself to the plastic bottle. And so this Mountain Valley water is out of a, glass bottle, and it has some kind of thickness to prevent it from, clinging to the glass, I understand, or something of that nature. But what we're going to do today is we're going to try some different waters that are from the supermarket, and we're going to put it up to this Mountain Valley spring water, and we're going to see, if we like the taste of that better than the water that was coming out of the bottle. So, I recommend, you try this at home. I know it sounds a little silly because we're all quite aware of the Coke and Pepsi challenge. Can you taste the difference? And I think for the most part now you probably can. You can probably taste the difference between a Coke or a Pepsi if you're really savvy with your sodas. I could definitely tell which one was which for the most part. But this is not just being able to tell, the different waters. What we're trying to determine is, does this water taste better? And they're claiming, of course, that this water is spring water and it supposedly tastes better. So that's really where we're coming from now. And I want to taste this up against some of the higher end you know, quality waters that are out there in the supermarket. You know, in other words, the more expensive ones. But anyway, there were more people at this expo. You know, I think Vitamin Shoppe was there, and they were talking about, well, they had some pamphlets on, you know, why you should take, you know, fish oils and, you know, and some of their products and you know, the normal stuff. And we had some people out there that was, you know, that were giving out urgent health report, you know, flyers and, you know, the oh, yes, this was a very interesting thing. They had this bracelet. Now, I don't know if this is how true this is, but this particular bracelet that they were saying would help you with the ion properties that are in the air. And this is some electromagnetic frequency of some kind that was supposedly, you know, help you with, you know, with oxygenating your blood again, believe it or not. So I don't know how true this is, but, you know, this was at the expo as well. And people, of course, who wrote in the Los Angeles Times and that kind of thing. And, you know, and people who were treating the mind as well as the body. And there were a whole host of things and that kind of stuff. But there were some really, really good speakers there. People who were talking about psychotherapy, people who were talking about, you know, conditioning. And a lot of great things like that. So I really enjoyed myself. Now this was not a, a fly by night operation. Alex Lebarski, who is in control of this, he calls this the Naval Expo, and, he has this every year. So if you're interested in going to this thing, look up the Naval Expo online. And he has this once a year around this time, and it's a really a great opportunity for you to meet a lot of people who are in this kind of field. I met somebody who was there who, believe it or not, had wheatgrass right out there, and you could try it, you could taste it, and you know, the product was there to for the taking, you know. She had the actual wheatgrass. She had it in capsule form. She had it in liquid form, which, as you know, anything that's in liquid form goes straight to the bloodstream. So all of these things were there, and I found it to be, you know, a pretty phenomenal experience. And, you know, we had people from Channel 12, Long Island News, that was there, and it was a pretty good event. So I really had a good time watching and listening and that kind of thing. And, of course, you know, you can't have an expo like this without having somebody who deals with water. So we had somebody who did the pH Life products, who is, you know, this is basically a filter. But this particular filter, they're saying, lasts a lot longer than the filters that you have in the store. They're saying that one of these filters will last you at least 6 months, you know, for your tap and that kind of thing. And from your tap to your actual water bottle, they're saying that this will last you 6 months. So, very, very interesting products going on. Maybe some of these things are state of the art and cutting edge. So I'm not sure, but I did see a lot of things and I met a lot of people. So, I hope you look forward to listening to these people, because every one of them, by the way, they're very excited to come on to this show and to talk to you about what they have to offer. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back. But David is going to be coming on, and he's going to ask me a few questions about what I saw. But this is some very exciting things, and you know, we look forward to exposing you to all of this.
Welcome back to Percival's Place on TalkZone.com. Here's Percy Dyer.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Percival's Place. David, are you on the line, brother?
Yes, sir. I'm on the line. Good afternoon to you.
All right. Good afternoon. You know, I'm looking at some of these magazines that I picked up yesterday, and one is saying From Batman to Bond. Wow. I mean, this is a Hollywood stuntman training. It was a very interesting expo yesterday, David. We had a I was exposed to a lot of things and a lot of different people. And, you know, I look forward to talking to a lot of these people on the air about what the what they're having to offer.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, you had a very exciting and enlightening time. So I kind of wanted to ask you, is this something that they do, you know, periodically? Is this an annual event, semi-annual? How do they go about doing that?
You know, that's a good question. You know, what it looks like they're doing, and, you know, maybe one of these days we're going to have Alex Lobarski on this show so he can really fill in the audience as to, you know, what motivated him to do this. But, you know, what he has is small events throughout the year. And then, of course, he builds that all up to come to this expo at the end of the year. And, you know, it's there are events that go on all over New York, basically the greatest state of New York, all over the place. And, you know, he'll have an event in a restaurant, and then he'll have a walk-a-thon one time, and then he'll have one of the other events in a hotel someplace, and then he'll do something else. You know, he does a lot of things throughout the course of the year. But the last thing is, of course, this expo. And the expo, you know, he had, you know, and it's just like any job fair event or anything of that nature where you have people with booths and you go around and you see what everybody has to offer. But the thing about this was there are speakers going on from at least at this event. The speakers started at 10 o'clock and they didn't stop until about 8 o'clock, you know, at night.
Wow. And wow, that's a long day.
It's a long day, and there are a lot of speakers. You know, it's not just one conference room. There were about six or seven conference rooms, and they were constantly, you know, going on. You know, one would stop at the hour, then the next one would come in. And, you know, they're getting, I think a few of them had the opportunity to speak twice, but most of these people were speaking once. So there was a lot of people there. And the booths, there must have been at least 30, 40 booths there. So, you know, by the time I walked around and, you know, I got there around 9 o'clock, but I didn't finish seeing everyone until about 1 o'clock or at least around that time. So, you know, you can get very enthralled with what you were seeing. So it was a very, very good event. And, I highly recommend that to, you know, people who are coming from, you know, at least the tri-state area. I mean, it's a long day, but it's well worth the effort, you know. So it's a good day.
So now, is this something that's open to the general public, or do you have to be in the medical or holistic community to be a part of this?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely open to everyone, to come and participate, you know, and I think that's true for any event that he has. You know, some of these events are free and some of these are not. This would have cost you $10, to come in for the all day event.
That's not bad.
No, not at all. Not at all. If you're not a part of his organization, you know, you would have to spend $10 to come in. But I mean, what you're going to receive for $10 for that particular day and that moment is it's well worth the $10. I mean, that's a, you know, it's a very small amount of money. And usually when people, you know, and you and I have been around for a long time now, for when somebody says there's a small fee, we both know that, you know, they're usually saying, well, it's a small fee of $399 or $500 or something of that nature. You know, and this is really a small fee. Everybody should be able to afford $10. You know, and again, you know, you had somebody cooking there. You had somebody making, you know, shakes and that kind of thing and, you know, and what have you. So it's, you know, and they were selling water, as I mentioned, this mountain spring water that you and I and the staff going to try a little later on and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's very, very good event. And I really enjoyed it, you know. So
yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like it, man. And, you know, in the interest of time, I think, you know, one of the things that I kind of want you to spotlight, I know you had an opportunity to see and hear a lot But what I would like to know, and I'm sure the audience would as well, what really were, you know, kind of the top three either presentations or vendors that kind of, you know, a combination thereof that really, you know, just kind of, you know, were fireworks, you know, in your opinion? What really stood out to you?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I wish I could have listened to everyone. But we had, there was one woman in particular who was talking about, you know, I forget how she phrased this, but, she was talking about breast cancer. She was an OR doctor. She's, you know, she's constantly dealing with people who have, you know, that issue. And I think she got fired from a particular hospital here. I'm not going to mention that hospital's name. I did get the opportunity, being as charming as I am, I'd like to add to that. I got a chance to talk to her by myself for some time. And, when she gave me the scenario as to how she got fired and why she was let go from this particular hospital here in New York on Long Island, it boggles the mind, because what she's really doing is she's trying to incorporate preventative care. And at the same time, what she was doing for the patients that did come in, she would offer her phone number, you know, her cell phone number. You know, and she would do, you know, personal follow up with these people so that, you know, so that they wouldn't have a reoccurrence. Because as she was explaining in her presentation, she said it usually there is a reoccurrence. The risk of reoccurrence in people who have breast cancer is high in the first 1 to 5 years. And after 5 years, she said that it drops off so dramatically, you wouldn't believe it, because apparently there has to be a nutrition regimen now. There has to be some kind of diet, you know, that's also incorporated in the nutrition. Then there has to be exercise and, you know, that kind of thing. And so what she was doing was she was absolutely caring more for her patients outside of, you know, I guess the realm of the hospital. And I guess they didn't like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she gave her phone number, and, you know, all the patients that she had, she followed up with them. And I guess this went a hospital policy. So they let her go. And so that there is going to be a demonstration, I understand, from not just her, but from some other people that was there, about hiring her back on the staff, because, you know, she does such a phenomenal job with all of these people. You know, that, you know, they don't want her to leave. So, you know, but that was one of the people that really stuck out in my mind, because here she was, and she's still trying to help people, you know, by giving this lecture and explaining, you know, what happens during a procedure, and but some of the things that you can do to not have this procedure done, you know, as well, which I think is another thing that the hospital didn't care for, because, you know, she was saying that not everyone has to have the procedure. You know, there are other things that you can possibly do to prevent this thing from getting to that point. So, you know, it was very, very interesting. And so she was out there, and, you know, and let me tell you, this is not this was actually, you know, a very, very smart, good looking, very, very engaging young lady. And, you know, I'm very surprised that any hospital would allow this woman to leave, because it would seem to me that you would want to showcase a person like that, saying that, you know, we have this particular person. You know, she's an expert in the field, you know, come over here, you know, but you know, that's just the way, you know, these things are working today. So I don't know.
Well, it, but anyway, unfortunately, it sounds as though she was trying to actually promote the actual function of health care and health insurance versus just the business of it.
Yeah, but you know, that's not the business of the hospital. The hospital wants to make money, you know. So, you know, instead of just having, you know, a person there that actually, which, you know, again, I don't understand, you know, some people don't seem to understand. That's exactly what you need. You need that kind of person there that will actually help you make more money than not. You know, everybody gets the same treatment everywhere else. So if you just give a little bit more, you'll actually make more money in the long run, because, you know, you can say that this person is going to actually care about you, you know, and she really does. She's really into her work. She loves her work. So why not have her there on the staff? People are crazy. But anyway, that's one of the people that stuck out in my mind. The guy that does the ozone, I think, is somebody who I can't wait to have on this show, because of all of the skin disorders that he can absolutely suppress or cure, I can't wait to hear, you know, what he has to offer. When he was talking about his machine and the treatment that he's done for people, it's phenomenal, you know, and to be able to deal with HIV and AIDS, you know, it's that is something that I has to be cutting edge. So I just can't wait to have him on the show, you know. So he's going to be a great guest. And, you know, he's a real New Yorker. You know, he talks with the Brooklyn accent and everything. You know, he's very animated, and he makes a great show. He makes a great show, and he knows that. So, you know, he's very comical, too. So I'm sure that you're going to get a big kick out of him. But, you know, he's one of the people that stuck out in my mind. And there were a few others there, but we're not going to really have the time to talk about everybody that stuck out in my mind, because there was so many. But I look forward to having a lot of these people on the show. So, you know, but anyway, let's...
You know, yeah, congratulations, man, on being a part of that.
Yeah, thanks, man. Well, you know, it's going to be a great few months, because we're going to be booked up until like May or something. So, but you know, I think it's going to be really good. So, but anyway, let's take a quick break, and ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with Percival's Place.
Welcome back to Percival's Place on TalkZone.com. Here's Percy Dyer.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Percival's Place. Today we have Stephanie Burgess. Stephanie, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How's everything?
I'm doing well. A little cold here. I'm here in Boston.
Oh, you're in Boston, huh?
I am. This is kind of where I work.
Oh, I got the impression that you were working here from New York.
No, well, actually, I'm originally from New York, so I'm originally from the Bronx. I grew up in the Bronx.
Oh, I see. So tell me, what are you doing up there in Boston?
So out here, pretty much, I'm an emergency room doctor out here.
Okay.
I work over here at the Harvard hospitals that are here in Boston.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. So what is it like up there in Beantown? I know it's cold. I can't. If you don't know, I can't stand the cold weather. I really hate it.
You and I.
Oh, goodness gracious, my God. Okay. All right, so tell me, so you're an emergency doctor.
Yes, so I'm an emergency room doctor, and I pretty much I'm a young doctor. I've been in it for about 3 years now. I'm in my residency up here in Boston.
Oh, okay. So you're still fresh into it. So how does it look so far?
So far, so good. I mean, every day I'm interacting with, you know, a different population, different people. You never know what's going to come in through your door, and that's kind of one of the exciting things about being in this field.
Okay. So tell us about some of the procedures that you've done so far, right off of the fly. What kind of people do you usually see coming into you?
I mean, I see all types of people. I see people coming in with heart attacks. I see people coming in with really bad infections that, you know, they're pretty much on the brink of death because of these infections. And so we have to kind of stabilize. My job is to stabilize them, whether that is putting a breathing tube in them, whether it's putting a special line in them so that we can make sure we get the right medications and the right amount of fluids into them. So it's a wide variety. You know, if someone comes in with fluid in their lungs, sometimes we have to remove the fluid.
Right.
You know, everything from those major procedures to someone coming in with a big cut on their hand and I have to suture it up. So every day it kind of ranges from what I do.
Okay, very good. So the reason that you're on this show is we're going to talk about more of people that come into you, but the main reason you're on this show is because you're an ER doctor, but you have an exercise program that you're promoting, correct?
Correct. So I'm an ER doc, and that's kind of my, you know, that's my, I call it my job by, you know, my job by daytime. But,
okay.
You know, one of my other passion is kind of helping people, you know, lose weight and helping them with their nutrition. And I think about it, and I think of it as, you know, helping people take control of their health.
Okay. Oh, that's outstanding. So tell us the educational background that you have, you know, for so everyone can understand where you're coming from.
Right. So, I mean, pretty much, you know, I'm just like, you know, for the most part, you know, my educational background, I went to college, I went to Boston College, and then I went to medical school. I do not have a degree in nutrition. That's something that I hope to have in the future. And, you know, I don't have a degree in personal training either. You know, I don't have a certification, I should say. That's something I hope to also get in the future. But I kind of have used my own personal research and my own life experiences to kind of help people and help them reach their goals. You know, I come from a Latin background. I'm Latina. And so, a lot of the struggles that, you know, I see in my culture, you know, through food and through lack of exercise, I've seen it in my own family. A lot of the diseases that affect not only my culture, but the African-American culture and, you know, a lot of other minority cultures, I've seen it through my family. And so a lot of my drive is, you know, just wanting to really help people take control of their health so that they can prevent, because a lot of these diseases are preventable through, you know, daily exercise and through good nutrition.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that you must have grown up with then versus what you're eating now, I would imagine. So tell us some of the food that you're used to eating, for instance.
Well, I mean, right. So, I mean, growing up, you know, like most Latin cultures, you know, we grow up and, you know, and every dinner is, you know, rice and beans and, you know, and some sort of meat, whether it's, you know, steak or chicken. It could either be fried chicken or it could be, you know, chicken that's, you know, heavily made with oil or lots of salt. And so, you know, anything from that to pasta to it's kind of what I grew up in. And also growing up with fast food. I mean, I think every day I would come home from school and I would eat McDonald's or I would eat pizza or, you know, and this is in between lunch and dinner. So, you would see the Mr. Softy truck outside and you're just like, you know,
oh God,
you know, you're,
say no more.
You know, you're eating ice cream and you're in all of this and then you're kind of sitting down for kind of the after school shows and you're sitting down to watch the cartoons. And you're not, you know, you're not sitting, you know, you're not going out to go out and play outside. I mean, not everybody goes out and plays soccer or goes out and plays basketball or goes out and they're active. A lot of kids are not active. A lot of kids are sitting in front of TVs. And so that's kind of like how I grew up. I grew up coming home from school and eating and then sitting in front of the TV and then eating dinner and then going to sleep.
Okay. I mean, you described some of my childhood, but the difference was... I mean, but we went out and played a lot, and I didn't have access to McDonald's. I did have access to that softy truck, though, but not the McDonald's. We, back in my day, which was the 60s and 70s, we had, McDonald's was around, but we could only get that once a month for a treat, you know, but we were extremely active back then. We would play football in the street and basketball and baseball and all that kind of stuff, and so we were extremely active when we ate, but that softy truck, boy, that was my weakness right there, man. You definitely hit home with that softy truck analogy, because I used to love that truck. I know what you mean. Yeah, so that's definitely a problem for kids today. They have access to too much food.
Exactly. So, I didn't have access to too much food, and I think, unfortunately, in a lot of our communities, especially a lot of our minority communities, more nutritious food tends to be more expensive. And so the cheaper food are the more, you know, the foods that are high in fat, high in carbohydrates. You know, it's an unfortunate, it's a big problem right now.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that you're apparently doing after you get off of the ER. What are you doing with your exercise program?
Right. So pretty much. I'm an independent Beachbody coach, and so I promote a lot of the programs through the company Beachbody, which happens to be, you know, P90X, Insanity, T25. I don't know if you've heard of any of these workout systems or home workout systems. And I have used their workout systems, and right now I do T25, which is a 25-minute DVD system that you do five times a week. And I have used that to incorporate it into my busy schedule. I work anywhere from 50 to 70 hours a week right now as a resident. And so I really don't have a lot of time, which I think a lot of people don't have a lot of time, you know, between working and especially if you have children, because if you have children, you know, that in itself, being a parent, is a 24-hour job. And
So
you do not have the time to, not everybody has the time to go to the gym and to work out for 45 minutes and to then go home and take a shower and, you know, and then get ready for your day. And so that's why I like, you know, home DVD systems, because you can, you know, you're already at home. All you have to do is put it into your laptop or put it into your DVD. You get your workout in, and then you're done. And so I think, you know, if you make working out a little bit more accessible and easier for people, they'll be more willing to try to stick with it.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Stephanie, I want to ask you a very poignant question, because this seems to be the sticking point for most people who have the home DVDs. How do you get them on a regular basis to exercise? I mean, you know, some of these people think that they can do this by osmosis. You know, they can have the DVD, but they don't do the actual stuff that's on the DVD. So how do you get them motivated to do that?
Right. I think this stems a lot from like how do you feel about yourself? Kind of where, you know, are you at a breaking point? Are you at a point where you're just like, you know what, I'm not happy with how I look. I'm not happy with the way my clothes are fitting. You know, it's that commitment, that motivation comes from within. And no one can give someone else that motivation. I think you're absolutely right. People will borrow a DVD. Oh, let me borrow your DVD and I'll copy it. You know, but once they get the copy DVD, it sits on their, you know, it sits on their entertainment system collecting dust, not doing anything. And I think a lot of it stems from how ready are you? Like, how much do you want to change? And how much do you want, you know, what is your motivation? Some people's motivation may be, you know, they have their father who has a heart attack, or they have their sister who has diabetes, or, you know, their children, they may look at their children and their children are obese, because obesity in children is really a huge epidemic in our country right now. And they're just like, you know what, I want to be a role model for my children. I want to be a role model for my family. And I want to try to live a healthy life and beat disease and not have to go on medications and not have to worry about later on, you know, knee replacements and because, you know, you're so heavy and all that weight that you're putting on your knees. And I don't want to have to worry about, you know, high blood pressure and diabetes and taking insulin for diabetes. And so a lot of, you know, everyone has their own different motivation. I know for me, my motivation has been that, like I said, I work crazy hours. I work anywhere from day shifts, evening shifts to overnight shifts. And I'm always, you know, going back and forth in between. And I was very tired. I felt very tired. I felt just, you know, I was addicted to coffee. I felt very fatigued. And I said, you know what, this is not how I want to be living my life. This is not, I want to feel good. I want to feel energized. I want to, you know, I had a whole closet full of clothes that didn't fit me. I said, you know, this is, I want to be able to fit into those clothes. I was, you know, I would become very sad when I would look at myself in the mirror and I would put on these clothes and none of them fit and I would be upset with myself. And, Okay. And in one day I just said, this is enough. This is enough. Like, I am committing to myself. I'm giving myself, you know, 1 hour is only 4% of the day. You know, 1 hour is only 4% of the day. And so if you give yourself, you know, and so 25 minutes or 30 minutes is even less than that. And so I said, you know what? I need to really make this a priority. The same way that I wake up and I brush my teeth, the same way that I go, you know, I need my cup of coffee, or, you know, I need to make this a priority in my life. And if you decide to make it a priority, you schedule it into your schedule, you'll be right. more likely to succeed at it.
Okay. Sorry. Very good. All right. Well, Steph, listen, we're going to take a quick break. And I'm going to ask you some questions on how we can, you know, get this kind of message out to the Latin community. So anyway, hold that. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with The Percival's Place.
And now back to Percival's Place on TalkZone.com with Percy Dyer.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're talking to Stephanie Burgess. Stephanie, how are you? You there?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Okay. So, Steph, so talk about how we can get this kind of message out to the Latin community and, you know, the exercise program that you have incorporated in your life. How do you do that? And how do you bridge that gap between, you know, eating traditional foods, for that matter, and, you know, and actually being more healthy?
Well, I think it's kind of educating yourself. I mean, it's kind of through doing, you know, things like this, through these radio shows and through reading, you know, whether it's fitness blogs, nutrition blogs, and really kind of, like, for me, I do a lot of my outreach through Facebook and through Instagram, trying to promote healthy living and trying to promote nutrition and exercise. And I think, you know, we have, go ahead, you have a question?
No, go ahead.
Oh, no. And I said, I think, you know, we as, especially if we're going to specifically talk about the Latino culture, I think, you know, we have to kind of realize that a lot of our foods and the way that we make it has to change. I mean, you know, you can still have, for example, you can have plantains and they can, like, let's take sweet plantains. You can have sweet plantains and most people are used to eating them, you know, fried in a deep fryer or, you know, fried in a pan. But you can actually, you know, take a yellow banana, you know, slice it and bake it. And it's very good, you know, baked, and it still has the same sweetness without the oil. And, you know, and I think if we, you know, it's about, you know, taking foods like white rice and instead of eating white rice, eat brown rice. So if you're going to have pasta, eat brown pasta. And I think the biggest thing is learning, you know, what a serving size is and what you're eating. You know, learning... Sure. You know, what is the serving size for rice? What is the serving size for this meat? Learning to really take a look of how much you're eating. And I think even just those small skills of just, all right, I am just going to eat a serving size as opposed to three serving sizes. Because a lot of times, like, you know, growing up, my father would eat a huge plate of white rice that probably was, I would say, four or five servings. But that, you know, without even realizing it. And I think if we just get into the habit of just even just learning about what a nutrition label looks like and what it means to read a nutrition label and just educating people on how to read it, you know, that will help people, you know, in terms of, you know, helping them with their weight loss and with their, you know, their health, you know, their fitness goals.
Sure. I agree with you. You know, I'll be honest and I'll share something with you. I have a particular affinity for a particular Latin woman that's on television. And you know, she was a weather girl on Univision. And I'm forgetting, it's not Telemundo. It's, I forget this, the show now. It usually came on in the morning. And I've noticed that over the years, she's talked about it. She's eating a lot more healthier now and she's decided not to, eat the larger portions as you're suggesting. And, you know, and to me, she looks extremely attractive, but I've noticed that she's gotten smaller. And so, even for our cultures that are very, very similar, you know, we have a tendency to think that, you know, sometimes, the bigger the woman, the more attractive that she is. And that's not necessarily true all the time, you know, but what happens is after you become conscious of it, you start to take more care of yourself, and you start to actually, the body is very, very interesting how it can adapt like that and actually, you know, and actually take care of itself, because it actually, you can actually change your body, in a matter of moments, you know, if you really just take care of it. It's absolutely incredible, the body. So, you know, that's why I'm glad that you're on the show and you're talking about, you know, eating a little bit better. But we have to actually change what we even visually think is, attractive as well. You know, whether it's big or small or whatever the case is, it really doesn't matter. But we have to actually change our mindset and to actually incorporate this in our lifestyle. So I'm glad that you're on the show.
Right, right. I mean, you know, I think, like, eating more nutritious food, you know, incorporating more vegetables, incorporating more fruits. I mean, I think, like you said, we're still, you know, a lot of our cultures are still used to eating big plates of rice and beans and whether it's chicken and fried chicken or, you know, just a lot of carbohydrate-laden foods like, you know, macaroni and cheese and, you know, just a lot of carbohydrate-laden foods, not real, you know, and we don't eat enough, you know, protein. We don't eat enough, you know, fruit. Exactly. We don't get enough vegetables. And it's a problem because the more weight you have on your body, it just leads to so many health problems, you know, whether that's high blood pressure and diabetes and, you know, knee problems because, you know, your knees are not, we're not meant to be that heavy. You know, our knees are not meant to take on that amount of weight. And so then you have people with really bad arthritic pain, really, you know, you have people who, you know, who need to get knee replacements because their knees are so bad. And that, and so if people will just, you know, start early, start, you know, in your 20s and your 30s and really start incorporating and changing your lifestyle and then teaching these habits to your children, you're going to be helping and preventing the diseases that are in your family in the future.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a moment while I have you on here. You know, in Ayurvedic science, they're suggesting that you eat, you know, your heaviest meal. Of course, this is all still nutritious meals, but your heaviest meal during the middle of the day, because the digestive tract is firing the most at that point. And of course, the lighter meal in the evening, because, you know, your digestive tract is starting to slow down a little bit. And if you eat a lighter meal at that point, you know, it's easily digestible at that point. So what exactly are you doing that you've incorporated in terms of the way that you're dieting at this point in time? And what I mean by dieting is not, you know, going on a diet. I mean your regular regimen of food that you're intaking every day.
Right. So, I mean, I think so. So one thing that I want to, you know, kind of stress is that everyone should be eating breakfast. You know, a lot of people do not eat breakfast. You know, you need to really kickstart, you know, your metabolism. You know, breakfast should be eaten within an hour of waking up. And that is to kind of kickstart your metabolism so that it knows that, okay, your body knows that the day is starting and your metabolism can kind of start working. And so I try to eat every 3 hours. And so I try to eat, you know, anywhere between, you know, 4 to 5 small meals a day. And a small meal for me, you know, may be, you know, I may wake up in the morning and have an omelet with an egg white. And I may have turkey bacon and a slice of toast. I may have a fresh smoothie in the morning with fresh fruit and some protein, like a protein powder. I also, and then for lunch, I might have, you know, I may take a sandwich to lunch that has either, you know, turkey and lettuce and cheese on whole grain toast. And then I may take, you know, fresh carrots with me, because at work, you know, with my work schedule, I need to be able to eat something quick. You know, I don't get a lunch break. And so I need to be able to eat something quick. And so I take a lot of Greek yogurt. I love Greek yogurt. And I eat cottage cheese. I know a lot of people don't like cottage cheese, but I eat it with nuts and fresh fruit, and I put honey in it. And then I have incorporated more whole grains like quinoa and couscous into my diet now. I no longer eat white rice anymore. I eat, okay. If I'm going to eat any type of rice, I eat brown rice, or I'll eat quinoa, which is a great kind of whole grain. And I'll make it with, some chicken broth. And I do the same thing with brown rice. I'll make it with chicken broth as opposed to water to give it some flavor. And then I'll have, I try to eat more fish, whether it's tilapia and salmon with fresh lemon on it. And so it all ranges from what I eat. And then I also like oatmeal. Oatmeal's a very good, especially in the morning, especially right now in the wintertime, oatmeal is very good. And it also helps with cholesterol and it helps with keeping you full. And so it's just kind of, really educating yourself, because if you eat bad, if you don't eat well, your body's not going to get the nutrients it needs, and you're going to feel full within, a half hour, an hour of eating certain foods, like a bagel with cream cheese, for example, which is like super common for most people to eat in the morning. But it's simple. It's simple sugar. It's simple carbs, and you're gonna be hungry a half hour, an hour later, and you're not gonna feel satisfied. And so it's about educating yourself about what are the foods that'll make you feel more satisfied.
Wow, no, that's very good. Yeah, you're right. You're right about the simple carbs. That's and that is a typical New Yorker meal right there. The cream cheese and that bagel. Wow.
Yeah, bagel and cream cheese, a donut in the morning, a Danish. Like, these are all, this does nothing, absolutely nothing for your body except turn into sugar and turn into fat.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sorry. It's the truth. It's the truth. I think, people really need to incorporate more protein into their diet and less carbohydrates. I mean, I'm a full believer that I do not believe in the no carb diet. I think everyone needs carbohydrates because it is the only, it's the only type of food that fuels the brain. And so everyone needs carbohydrates in their diet, in their nutrition plan, but we do not need as much as we consume.
All right. Well, Stephanie, I have to thank you for coming on the show. I hope you'll give us the opportunity to do TV with you later. What do you think about
that? Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
Okay.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Well, great. Well, I definitely want you to come on the television show a little bit later on, probably in the beginning of next year when we actually get everything situated. So you're invited to come on to that. And I'm telling you, I think you're a fantastic guest. So thank you for coming on. And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes this episode of Percival's Place. Be sure to join us next week, where we're going to have some more exciting guests for you. So thank you. And once again, my name is Percival, and this is my place.